from the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network. It's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Michigan, I'm Duran Martinez, all over the Great Lakes State, all over the world at wildmichiganradio.com, being brought to you by our friends at Not Just Guns, Cedar Street at 127 in Mason. Not Just Guns, their online auction every Wednesday night at notjustguns.com, and our friends at United Deer Farmers of Michigan. Spoke with Gene Skiba, the vice president, in the first hour of the show. He is also a deer ranch owner up in the Gaylord area, and sent the invitation out. If you'd like to see it for yourself, absolutely give them a call or hit them up on their website for that opportunity. HuntersHavenWhitetails.com is where you can find it. Gene Skiba was a great first-time guest here. And our friend Doug Roberts from Conquest Sense also bringing you Wild Michigan. Doug is here with us right now. And Doug, real quickly, we talk with Gene. He is about 17 fawns in, and you guys have just a couple so far.
Yeah, we've got, I think we've got about six right now that we're down with. They're just starting to drop, but I'll tell you, the, you know, like we were talking, I've got lakefront property where I normally don't have it, so we're kind of hoping that things dry up a little bit for these little critters and, you know, get some warmth. It's been a little trying with the weather.
You know, it's been a little trying in your area, a lot trying. We have watched floods and dams breaking and towns being submerged, and you know, we see the obvious devastation for people, but when it comes to animals, wild animals, that really isn't in the forefront of our thoughts, which is understandable. But we're starting to see a shift in some things with whitetail behaviors because of flooding. Their habitat has been erased by high waters, and it's causing them to put go into some places that they normally wouldn't.
But you're exactly right. And what I'm hearing, you know, a lot of people are saying, why are we seeing so many deer, you know, that are being hit on the road right now? You know, you take the Midland area, that flooding area, you know, if those does have already had their fawns, the fawns just got wiped out. The moms can get out of the way and they can run, but those fawns aren't big enough to cover enough distance. So we're going to lose that fawn crop. The ones that haven't had their fawns yet are really going to new areas to fawn that they normally wouldn't go to. So people are seeing more deer in places where they normally wouldn't be. And we're seeing more deer being hit on the roads because they're trying to get out of the water and get to high ground to have their fawns. So it's a, yeah, it's a pretty devastating impact. And it's pretty much statewide that we're seeing this movement of all these deer right now. With the start of the fawning season.
You know, and speaking with Doug Roberts from Conquest Sense here, and I guess a lot of us, self-included, don't really think about that. And you know, I've noticed a lot of deer. I'm like, why am I seeing so many deer this time of year? And I guess it's really making sense now when you put the two and two together that their habitat has been shrunk or is shrinking due to high waters, and they're looking for places that, you know, to have their fawns, for food sources, for bedding areas, cover. I mean, they're a whole, you know, like people that have lost things of their own, these animals are losing their living rooms and their homes as well.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, you think about where the bucks are all starting to bachelor up, and they have pretty much now. They're growing their antler, you know, and that's all started. But those guys normally are down in the swamps and along the streams and creek beds. Well, it's all flooded out. So even those guys, you know, people are going to start seeing more of the bucks as they're growing antlers if this does not dry up. Now, if it dries up, they'll go back for the most part of where they normally would be. But right now, they've been pushed out of all their areas as well. So it's a lot of uncomfortable stress. And it's interesting, you know, we had a cold spring, a cold start, a very wet. Thank heavens it's not as wet as last year for as long a period. But antler growth started out a little slow, but it seems to be picking up in the last week or so as far as growth. So hopefully it'll get back to normal here pretty quick.
Well, you know, I'm looking at the 10-day forecast. Here we are, you know, the day we record on Thursdays. Memorial Day weekend. But coming up, here we go, we're going to have wet days, but we're going to see temperatures in the mid to upper 80s for a few of those days. As our good friend Andy Provenzano told us, that we could see temperatures towards the end of June in the 90s, and you add the humidity we have from the rains. What is that going to do with the antler growth?
Well, remember what I've always said. Hot, humid, hazy days, a buck will grow more inches of antler in that 24-hour period than any other time. And it's just because their body can't cool down. And so their blood pressure goes up. Their heart beats faster, just like us. When we exercise, it beats faster. The faster it beats, the more calcium it's pushing through those antlers and expanding those antlers. Again, when we did that study years ago, hot, humid, hazy day, a mature whitetail buck could grow 2.5 inches of antler in 24 hours. That's just an amazing feat when you think about it.
You know, I remember those conversations, but it sounds so much cooler when you say it. Because, you know, I'm the radio guy, you know, Duran's talking about antler growth, yada, yada, yada. But you had the deer professor telling us that,
but
Duran,
it's amazing to see. It's almost like if you could stay and just watch it. It's like you could see it physically grow and change. You know, elk, when we were, of course, raising the elk and doing the velvet, those same days, they were growing 4.5 to 4.75 inches a day. Literally, you could see it grow. It's amazing when you think that's the fastest cancerous cell on the planet growing at that rate in a uniform fashion to create a typical structure. God created it perfectly, and it's just amazing to see it.
You know what, Doug? I don't know if I'm sure you've thought about this, but imagine if you could do time lapse photography on something like that to physically watch something grow uniformly, like you said, a uniform structure on an animal, and to physically see it grow 4.5 inches in a 24-hour period. That blows my mind.
Yeah, we've been actually trying to figure out, and it can be done on my farm because I don't have, you know, tame deer. We don't have any bottle fed, but it'd be interesting to see on a bottle fed, a very calm buck, to put a camera on there somehow to literally capture that time lapse footage, because I think it would be people would be stunned at the what the transformation would be on top of that deer's head, and it's very sensitive as well. So you've also got to understand that, you know, is it painful to them? No, but it is sensitive. So if it gets bumped or if it gets hit, they run into something with it, that's very painful. Because there's a lot of blood flow running through that that antler at this time of year.
You know, Doug Roberts is our guest here from Conquest Sense. We're talking about antler growth on white-tailed deer. Doug, we've talked about this in the past about the sensitivity of that antler growth with all that blood flow going through there, and you know, it not painful to have it grow, but again, sensitive. And sometimes we've seen or have taken white-tailed deer bucks that have this round nodule, like it was a bee sting or a bump. It bumped into something, and it can change the direction of antlers in general.
Yep. Actually, absolutely. A couple things can happen. One, if it breaks actually through the velvet, that actually is very bad, because that it could bleed out. Lots of times you'll get flies and maggots, and it'll end up killing the deer. But majority of the time what happens is when that antler hits something or gets hit by something, it compresses the soft part of the bone that's starting to grow. And it compresses that and squishes it in a different direction. And if it breaks the artery underneath that velvet, that artery then changes direction and grows a drop tine or a split tine or something, you know, like that. So, again, it's inside that velvet that the damage can be done. And then that is reforming that antler permanently for that year.
All right, Doug Roberts is our guest here. We're going to speak more with him in a few minutes as we get through this first segment. Want to find out about antler growth, and now you've got me thinking, Doug. I have more questions about antler growth and drop tines and things like that. So hang on, got more coming your way. We are Wild Michigan, being brought to you by Conquest Sense of Davidson. Your knees get a knock in.
make a living from walking in the woods. You can bet I'd be sitting pretty good, high on a hill, looking at a field downwind.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Luke Bryan, all-around good guy. Had the opportunity to meet him at ATA a couple of years ago. Standing right next to him, just kind of wanting to say hi, but not wanting to say hi. Don't want to be that guy. And looks at me and says, hey, man, selfie? I'm like, all right. Then it was on. The bromance began. But, yeah, Luke Bryan, great guy. Big outdoorsman. And we've got Doug Roberts joining us here from Conquest Sense as we are being brought to you by them, along with some other great folks here on Wild Michigan. Doug, we were talking about antler growth and how that can change the course of the antler growth if you break through the velvet or the artery. It's very sensitive, and one of the questions that I had posed to Chad Stewart a while ago about when we had the issue with the not chronic wasting, but the other issue we had when we had the really dry weather and the
EHD.
Midges, the EHD, the epizootic hemorrhagic disease, where deer were bleeding out because they were getting bit. And the first thing I thought of was, because that tissue is so soft and so sensitive, could that be one of the places, one of the reasons why we saw more bucks, aside from the fact that we're more emotionally attached to big bucks during that course?
Well, no, absolutely, Duran, you're right. That tissue, as we go through the season, you get closer to the end of the velvet season where they're going to shed out. That starts to dry up. But really, when you look at the end of July, first part of August, all of those tips of those tines and the beam are still very, very blood-filled. They're very soft. They're full of arteries. And it is amazing how the flies and the gnats will go towards the antlers, the eyes, the ears, that area. Literally, we just darted Moose, one of our big breeder bucks, this morning because he was limping. And as soon as we got to him, where were all the flies? All over his antlers. And we were able to spray what we call Silver Shield. It's kind of a antiseptic blood, bug spray, whatever, and keeps them away for 3-4 days. Give them a little bit of a break, but in the wild you can't do that. So that is a spot where those gnats, the flies, can bite. Now, what does the antler have naturally to try to keep the flies and the bugs away? They have lanolin, and they have little silica hairs. If you see a velvet up close when it's growing, it's real hairy. It's real soft and pliable, but yet it's got all these little hairs, and those hairs try to be long enough to where a gnat or a fly couldn't get down to the actual velvet and bite in. And then the lanolin also is like it's an oil, and that allows a couple things. One, again, it wouldn't taste good to the flies, but it also is a lubricant for that velvet to stretch as it's growing super, super fast. If it didn't have that, it would actually split and break open, and of course, the deer would probably die, bleeding to death, or get flies in there and maggots. So there is some natural stuff to it, but you're absolutely right. Antlers are definitely a spot where bucks try to get into and do a lot of biting.
With Doug Roberts is our guest here from Conquest Sense. Doug, we look at the hot years and the dry years and stuff, and now we're on the opposite end of the spectrum with flooding and things of that nature. We haven't had a really normal, air quotes, normal year in quite a few years, it seems.
If you think about it, we were just talking about this the other day, and it seems like the seasons have rotated about a full month. October is always warmer the last number of years than it's ever been, definitely when we were kids. April and May, it seems like April is now happening in May, and May is happening in June.
Mm-hmm.
Are the seasons just slowly rotating a little bit, which may just be a natural occurrence? We just haven't rotated our calendars.
Right. See, I like to say...
To nature, let's face it. My fawns, even though we artificially inseminate, the ones that are naturally bred, so they are on nature cycle, literally have adjusted their fawn dropping times by about 2.5 weeks over the last 10 years.
Wow.
So nature has naturally made an adjustment, at least in my deer. And I'm curious to see if that would have happened in the wild deer as well. Again, we don't have bottle feds or tame deer, so they have the natural instincts. But we have rotated probably a good 2.5 weeks over the last 10 years to them having them to the end of May instead of the middle of May.
People can say conspiracy theory or whatever they want about what is happening globally, but this Earth is billions of years old, okay? We are but a blink in the eye of time as people, and this thing is going to do what it's going to do, and there's nothing we can do to change it, you know, nope. to stop it anyway. If it's fixing itself
it
or whatever.
Us.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, my two biggest fears are the sun going out and bees being gone. So without either one of those, we're kind of we don't exist anymore. But, you know, if those are the only two things that are going to keep me up at night, then I'm good.
You know, we're still having all the same types of weather. We're just having those weather patterns at different times than what we were used to. So, again, that kind of lends itself. Is it naturally just adjusting the seasons a little bit over time? And again, 2-3 weeks does make a difference. That's almost a month, you know, in our human schedule, I guess is what you'd say.
Right.
I always tell hunters, listen, deer are already home. They're already in their kitchen. They're already in their living room, no matter where they are. We happen to go in there. They don't wear watches. They're on their time. They're on nature's schedule. We try to want them to get onto our schedule because I got 3 hours to hunt tonight, so you got to do it in my 3 hours. And That's not how it works out there.
No. Fortunately, not for them. They don't know, okay, I got to be up until this time. No, it's I get what you're saying. Doug Roberts is our guest here. Anything you're working on going forward, anything new, or aside from just getting fawns, you know, picking them up, finding them?
We actually are just finalizing a new line, a synthetic line of scents, VS1, Evercalm, and Rutting Buck. We've been working on that for actually 2 years to make sure the smells are as close to the real deal as we can. Of course, we're doing that. Canada, most of the provinces, some of the states have gone that direction. So we feel that we need to give those states, the hunters in those states, an opportunity to continue to use our products. Took a year to make sure that the deer reacted to it in the same way as the real stuff. We're coming out with that. We're also coming out with a new, smaller aerosol, 3.5 and 4 ounce bond. So those are new things from Conquest Sense.
Awesome. Looking forward to seeing that. Find them online, conquestsense.com. Doug Roberts, the deer professor. Always, man, appreciate you joining us here on Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
Take care.